this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National earthquake.
First time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
It's alive! From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the show that brings you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Here's an interesting story right in front of me from Rochester, New Hampshire. Says a New Hampshire woman named Janelle Jones and her husband Matthew Jones visited a Burger King drive-thru. However, they realized on their way home the bag they received did not contain the sweet tea and junior spicy chicken sandwich that they ordered. The bag instead contained $2,631 of cold, hard cash. Well, Matthew Jones says, sure enough, the couple briefly considered keeping the money, which they certainly could have used. But he says he and his wife are Jehovah's Witnesses and that, quote, Jehovah sees everything, end quote. So they decided to turn right back around and return that money to Burger King. Turns out it was a Burger King bank deposit. So the local newspaper reports the restaurant confirmed the couple's account was true but had no comment on it. So you got to admire people like that, and hopefully that will all come back to them karmically somehow down the road in the spirit world. Well, hey, thank you for joining us tonight. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Sam the Animal Steel. Good evening, Sam.
Rawr to you too, sir. What's going on, man?
Well, you know, I'm excited about tonight's show. It's going to be action-packed, and it's one of those shows that's going to dig deep and take you into new places. And speaking of new places, investigator Shelley Wright, you're a person who likes to get out there and explore. You're a world traveler. Have you seen anything spooky lately in your investigations?
I see spooky things all the time. But maybe it doesn't seem all that spooky to me anymore, but it's spookier to other people.
Shelley, is it okay for us to say on the air, and we don't have to be specific, that you actually have inspired some dolls out there?
Yes.
Okay, this would you like to explain? Explain what happened.
Well, I have developed a friendship with a woman who makes monsters. And I think it's the coolest thing ever, these stuffed fabulous monsters. And we got to talking one day, and she asked me what I do when I explained about being a paranormal investigator. And she thought that was the coolest thing ever. So she made up a monster that whose occupation is paranormal investigator.
And what is this monster called?
Shelly Strange. Shell, middle initial E, Strange. With likes and dislikes.
Do you have a picture of Shelly Strange?
I do.
I'd like to see this. I have
a picture of Shelly Strange.
Nice. Yeah, because, Sam, you know, you are a crafty man. I can see you.
A crafty man and a collector of toys. And dolls.
Yes. So this would be right up your alley, then. You could start making Shelly Strange dolls.
Nice.
And she made a sister to Shelly Strange. Vera Strange. You know, the southern version of a very Vera Strange.
Huh.
So, yeah. I'm very excited. So I've sent pictures to lots of friends, and Dana's wonderful. She's just great, and she's working on her Etsy page so she can showcase all of her monsters.
Sam, we're giving Shelly too much airtime. I'm getting jealous, dude. They're making dolls of her and not me.
I was trying to think of what a Joshua P. Warren doll's name would be. Joshua P. Help me out here, Shelly.
Oh, my.
All I can tell you guys is, Sam, you're the natural one for the Sam the Animal. I mean, come on. That lends itself to so many possibilities.
Tell this girl to get on it.
Yeah, Shelly, tell her we want her to get serious now. It's great that you are the very first celebrity here who got to break new ground, but it's time for the rest of us to get a chance at this kind of immortality. So you can tell your friend she has my permission. I guess she has your permission, Sam the Animal.
Of course.
To do something inspired by our majesty as well.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Pass it along.
Yeah. Speaking of how significant that people like us are, really, I was telling Lauren, you know, I'm here in Puerto Rico. You guys are at the flagship station there in Asheville. Here in Puerto Rico, at the Bermuda Triangle base, I live on the West Coast, and just about everybody around here is very tan, and I am 6'2". I'm white, usually as Frosty the Snowman. I have blue eyes. I'm the only guy, you know, I can go to Puerto Rico and near the equator for months and come back to Asheville, and people are like, where were you, under a rock? You don't look like you've had any sun whatsoever. So I was telling Lauren the other day, when kids see me here, every single time, and the littler, the more they react, when I walk by a kid will look up, and their jaw will drop, and it's almost like everything goes deadly still and silent, as if they're watching Superman fly overhead, and they are entranced to see me. I look so different than anything they have experienced up to that point in their lives. And so earlier tonight, I went to a restaurant, and I walked by a table, and there was this little baby sitting in a high chair. Same reaction as, but this, you know, she just looks at me, just in absolute, I don't know, awe, disbelief, whatever's going through this child's mind. And I came back to Lauren and I said, Lauren, I think I've finally figured it out. I think I know why all of these kids really react to me this way. She goes, why? I said, because Puerto Ricans can naturally sense greatness. That's got to be it, Sam, right?
It must be. I'm thinking of a thing for his doll now. Easter Island Josh with the huge head.
Yeah, there you have it. I like that. That's good, yeah. That's an intuition they have. No, we. It's funny that people, they meet us and they realize that we're the little men behind the curtains. You know, we have the Wizard of Oz out here. But no, we're just humble guys next door, aren't we, Sam?
Just, yeah, that's pretty much it. Just good-looking, humble guys next door. Good-looking, extra-intelligent guys next door.
We're little people just like all of you.
Yeah.
No, hey, you know what? I have a guy who's going to come on the program tonight who is going to put a whole new spin, I think, on the significance of every single person listening to this show tonight. Let me explain. He's a friend of mine. We've been friends for a long time. But he is a very well-known expert in his own right. He travels all over the country. He does speaking engagements constantly. He's always being interviewed on radio programs. His name is Dale Allen Hoffman. And let me tell you a little bit about Dale. And frankly, it's kind of hard to describe exactly who he is and what he does. Let me just say this. It doesn't matter what your religion is. It doesn't matter if you're an atheist. It doesn't matter if you are agnostic. It doesn't matter if you don't know what you are. Every single one of us have to acknowledge the fact that the Bible has become the most powerful book in the world. One way or another, it has touched everything, for better or for worse, looking at how it has been treated throughout history. And I've always thought it was amazing that this book has such power, and yet almost none of us know what it really says, because it has been translated over and over and over throughout history and degraded and downgraded into all these different generations. We don't even know what the original text said. Well, Dale Allen Hoffman is an extremely smart guy, and years ago he said, you know, I'm going to go on a mission. And I'm going to go back to those ancient original languages, Aramaic, the language that Jesus spoke, go back to the original Hebrew. And he says, I want to actually learn those languages so that I can read the oldest and presumably most accurate text of the Bible and make my own personally informed decision about what this actually says. He made this a life's goal. And what he discovered, it almost gives you cold chills. It almost makes you tingle, because he has now interpreted the Bible in a way that makes, to me, so much more sort of profound sense that I don't even want to try to describe it. That's why I'm going to have him on this show tonight. And to give you a sense of my history with Dale, years ago we even did a program together at AB Tech. It was a two-part presentation in an auditorium one evening. It was packed out, sold out. I did part one, which was about, my own paranormal stuff. And then Dale did part two, where he actually emulated some of the rituals that John the Baptist used, using water to transfer energy. He's going to explain all this tonight and a lot more. So I say, hey, if you want to hear the words of the Bible and the words of Jesus as you probably never heard them before, stick around, because that's what we have coming up for you, hour number two. When we come back from this break, I have a story for you about Carowinds, the amusement park in North Carolina, and one of our favorite topics, aliens. This is the show where the unusual becomes usual, brought to you tonight by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
from the heart of the Bermuda Triangle, Puerto Rico, the Isle of Enchantment, hitchhiking the ET Highway. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and you are listening to Speaking of Strange, broadcast through our flagship station in Asheville, North Carolina. We are just a worldwide phenomenon, and we're happy that you have chosen to spend your evening with us. This is Speaking of Strange, and it is presented to you by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina. If you're lucky enough to live near Asheville, do yourself a favor and go visit Wright's Coin Shop. Otherwise, you can call them, 828-298-5402. 828-298-5402. And there's also a link to their website at speakingofstrange.com, where you will also find a map and even a picture of Investigator Shelley Strange. you know, guys, Carowinds is a very, very popular attraction across the nation. There are people who may not live in North Carolina and have maybe never heard of Carowinds, but Carowinds is a giant amusement park. I presume it's the biggest one in an area that includes several states. Wouldn't you think, Sam?
It does sit right there, North and South Carolina, you know. And it's, you know, if you're not from around these parts, it's similar to, you know, a Six Flags, something like that. It has a water park, lots of roller coasters. Good times have been had there by all of us, I'm sure.
And absolutely. Sunburns.
Oh, yeah.
And it's owned by Paramount, I believe, unless they've sold it recently. I haven't been there in a while. So you have a lot of sort of movie-themed attractions. So Carowinds is definitely a part of the pop culture in our region. And I saw this really bizarre story about something that happened just recently at Carowinds. A 26-year-old woman and her boyfriend are in trouble. This is because security was driving around the Carowinds parking lot, and they saw there was a pickup truck in kind of an abandoned area. And they went up and saw there was an 8-month-old baby inside the vehicle, all alone and crying. So who on earth would leave this baby by itself in a truck? Well, so they say about 20 minutes after they found the baby, here comes this 26-year-old woman and her boyfriend walking back to the truck. And this was the baby's mother. So they said, why on earth did you leave this baby in this truck? And the woman explained that she had no choice. She said that recently she had, quote, heard voices from God or possibly aliens telling her to go to the park. I'm still quoting her, okay? She says, the voices wanted me to leave my boy behind and come with them, end quote. Well, she went on to say that she decided against that because she wanted to stay with her family. And so then the alien said, okay, but if you're going to stay, then you have to go to the park. That was part of the pact. Said she didn't know why they wanted her to go to the park, but they told her to leave the baby in the truck and go to the park. They also said that the woman had originally taken the baby into the park and then went back out and put the baby in the truck because that's what they wanted so they could be happy, you know, and she went back in without the baby. And yet they also say that they found a gash on her palm from the fence of the park. So she was at somehow or another climbing in or out. I don't even know if she bought a ticket. Maybe she was just climbing the fence.
They didn't want her to pay.
That must be it. So obviously the little boy here has been taken into protective custody, and now she and her boyfriend have been charged with all kinds of things, neglect of a child and trespassing, etc. So here's a woman who believes earnestly, apparently, that God or aliens have been talking to her. You know, to me, that would be a bit of a challenge, wouldn't it? figuring out who it is who's talking to you. I mean, because I have never had, you know, these disembodied voices talking to me like you hear people like her describe. There was one time in my life when I heard a voice that I cannot explain. And it was a voice that said, look over there, and I was sleeping. So it could have been, I was more or less in a dreamlike state, but I opened my eyes, and there was a snake slithering into my bed.
Oh.
That's true. Yeah. So that voice saved me from probably a lot of heartache and hurt. Other than that, I've never had voices start talking to me. But if that happens, how do you know for sure who's talking to you? I mean, they can say, oh, I'm so-and-so. And you don't know, is this God or the devil or a ghost or what are those things really? You know, it becomes very, very tricky territory, especially when you have psychologists who are saying, well, you know, you sometimes something just happens in your brain and you can become insane and you can start hearing these things that you're creating on your own. But if you want to look at this more realistically, you know, before the break I was saying that we're going to have Dale Allen Hoffman come on here, and he's going to give us a fresh interpretation of the words of Jesus. And I know already some of the stuff he's going to say, because he has this fantastic CD. He's got a number of CDs, but he's got one called Inanna, Living from the I Am. And when I was driving across the island to Puerto Rico recently, I listened to this CD, and then I listened to it a second time on the way back, and then I played it a third time and listened to it for Lauren. It's really fascinating, and you know, the thing is, I can't stand people like these sort of cheesy evangelists and people like that. It's really nice to hear the Bible sort of interpreted from a new perspective. And it makes you also start thinking about just how misinterpreted the idea of the figure of Jesus has always been. So here's what I've wondered. Like, okay, let's say, Sam, you and I are sitting at a bar. You're having a club soda. I'm drinking a Long Island iced tea because I want to get blistering drunk that night. We look over, and there's a man sitting at the bar, and we say, hi, who are you? And he says, I'm Jesus. And we say, oh, that's really your name? He goes, yes. And it turns out this guy says, no, I am the Son of God. You know, I'm the same guy. And I've come back. I told everybody I was going to come back. But I wanted to stop by here and, you know, say hi to you guys first.
That'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, but now think about this literally happening. What would we ask that guy to do to prove to us that he is Jesus and not just a madman or a magician who knows a few good magic tricks? What would it take, Sam, for you to believe that?
Well, that's a tough question.
Yeah.
I mean, because, I mean, you wouldn't necessarily want to go just for show me, because he wouldn't have holes in his hands necessarily, because he had been dead, buried, rose again.
And that doesn't prove anything, though. I mean, no, there are people, no. You know, who crucify themselves all over the world around Easter, you know, because they're doing this in memoriam of Jesus.
You would have to go with a cerebral question. You would have to try to fool this guy at his own game. And ask, like, okay, if you are really the Son of God, then, and you're smarter than me, typically, usually. So, I would leave it up to you. But maybe asking a question, something like, something involving the resurrection or something about, you know, saving souls. I don't know, man. That's a tough one.
I'm not sure there's anything that he could say that would convince you. It would almost, unless he started maybe telling you things that were very, very personal about yourself that only you know.
I mean, that could be one. Like, could be a mind reader.
Yeah. That would go a long way. But you'd almost have to see this guy bring somebody back from the dead, right?
Or change water into wine.
Oh, hell yeah. My favorite miracle. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, here's a creepy story. Have you ever heard of the Slender Man? Well, if not, when we come back, I will tell you who this ghostly slender man is, because people have been seeing him in the UK. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is the show where the unusual becomes usual, brought to you tonight by Wright's Coin Shop. It's called Speaking of Strange.
Can I escape this irresistible grasp? Can I keep my eyes from the circling sky? Tongue-tied, twisted, just an earthbound history.
Speaking of strange, I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You may call them at 828-298-5402 or go to speakingofstrange.com to find a link there. Also a link to the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours. Yes, we have tours, and this time of year when it's often cold, we have indoor ghost hunts. And you'll find info at hauntedasheville.com on how you can take one of those late-night ghost hunts inside a nice, cozy, warm building, and for a limited period of time, you can even rent a pair of high-grade, third-generation night vision goggles for your ghost hunt. So links to all that stuff is at speakingofstrange.com, or you can go for the ghost tour straight to hauntedasheville.com. Let me take a moment to say, you know, Mobius... He contacted me yesterday, and he said, I would like for you to clarify something for our audience, please. I said, okay. Well, I came on the show recently, and I told everybody that the Sunshine Simple Jr., which is a solar generator that our company makes, is usually $895, but that right now, we are going to do a winter special and literally chop $400 off of that. So it's now $495, which is extremely exciting. And so all these people have been taking advantage of it and buying it while they can get it for $495. But he said one person emailed him and said, why, you scoundrels, you have apparently been scalping people this whole time. If you can give a $400 discount, how dare you? And what I want to explain to all of you, because I didn't explain this before, is that in the solar business, the price that you actually pay for your panels goes up and down dramatically. depending on the time of year, depending on how many that you buy, that makes a big, big difference. And so sometimes we get to a point where we're able to put a big bulk order out there for parts, and Mobius can renegotiate how much the costs are. And what we do is we do promotions, and we pass those savings along to you. So it's not that we are the rest of the time making this exorbitant amount of profit. It's that when we get an opportunity where it's cheaper for us, we make it cheaper for you. So take advantage of that. And if you don't have any kind of a generator, now's the perfect time to go to sunshinesimple.com. That's sunshinesimple.com. And look at the products that we have there, and they're all on sale right now, but they won't be very long. Here is one of those stories that is creepy on a number of levels. This is from the UK. Headline, Ghostly Sightings of Slender Man Reported in UK Town. Now, even if you've never heard of the Slender Man, let me sort of get into this story a bit, and you'll start to understand, I think. It says, this 8-foot-tall stick fin specter has been spotted by several terrified residents of Cannock Chase in Staffordshire over the last month. Locals have reported seeing the, quote, lean, shadowy spirit with blood-red eyes and wearing Victorian dress in the forest there as well as their homes, end quote. So each of these chilling close encounters took place in this small mining town. There have been at least about 20 sightings now. One resident explained, I was awoken just before 2 a.m. by an odd scratching noise in my bedroom. To my astonishment, there was what seemed like a sphere-shaped shadow by the edge of my wardrobe. As I tried to get out of bed and investigate further, the shadow began to stretch toward the ceiling. It was at that point I found myself faced with the most disgusting and horrific creature imaginable. It was about 8 feet tall and had a white face with razor-sharp fangs. Now, here's one thing that I'm going to pause and insert on my own, okay, before I continue with this. There is always this confusion that arises within paranormal research over terminology. For example, I've talked about this on the show before. The chupacabra is a name that originated here in Puerto Rico. And when people were originally talking about the chupacabra, they were talking about some kind of an almost alien interdimensional looking creature that was about 4 feet tall, standing upright on two legs, with big black eyes, spines running down its back, hunched over a bit, with claws, and had sometimes the ability to sort of fly away or even, you know, spirit itself away into the sky. But because that creature was associated with animals being drained of blood, in other cases, in other parts of the world, when people started having their livestock attacked, if they caught some kind of weird-looking little mangy coyote or something like that, then they would say, oh, must be one of them chupacabras, right? And so now there's confusion about what that term originally meant. Well, same thing here with Slender Man. And there have been for a long time, and they talk about this in this article here, stories about this sort of fiendish apparition in that particular area. I'll get to some specifics in a minute. And yet, and I haven't really prepared to talk about this, so I can't tell you exactly when it started, but I'm thinking something like maybe 15 years ago, there was a thing that started on the internet. Somebody opened up a website, and they started posting pictures of crowds and various sort of random public scenes that always featured this tall, dark, willowy, ghostly form somewhere off to the side. And they called this the Slender Man, and then they started challenging people to create their own Slender Man pictures. And so the internet got flooded with just thousands of these fake pictures. And therefore,
You could say, oh, the Slender Man's just a bunch of BS. But when you get reports like the one I have in my hands here, there are one of two things happening. Either one, the Slender Man sort of creativity, we won't call it a hoaxing, but the Slender Man creativity that was manufactured on the Internet may have created a tulpa, meaning it was a thought form that people put out there, and sometimes these thought forms reach a certain momentum, and they literally sort of materialize, and they become real. That's one possibility. The other is that this is some kind of a phenomenon that maybe be a little, it might be a little different than you know, what we think of traditionally as Slender Man, but the name Slender Man is being applied to it. This could be some kind of a vampire or something. So getting back to the article, it says Slender Man, according to the writers of this article, has been a part of global folklore for centuries. In Scotland, the fiendish figure is known as Fir Dubh, or the Dark Man. The Dutch dubbed him Tockenmann, which is Branch Man, and in Germany he is referred to as Der Große Mann, or Tall Man. Dressed in a black suit with a white silhouetted face, the floating figure is as tall as a tree, has several long stretching limbs, and is said to lurk in forests where he abducts children. And they say, while many believe the supernatural being to be a myth, this story has inspired some horrific crimes. You guys may remember in May of last year, two girls from Wisconsin stabbed a 12-year-old classmate 19 times, claiming they wished to commit the murder so they could become proxies to Slender Man. So there is obviously something very realistic that's happening here, at least in the minds of some people, and particularly some young people. So, you know, it's eerie stuff. And, you know, Shelley, we're coming up on a break here, but just I'd like to mention, you said off the air, this reminded you of some of these stories about, you know, black-eyed kids. And what did you find recently in your research about black-eyed kids?
Most people say that they're too scared to let them in, and I came across something that said that, or that if someone had let them in, that they must have been killed. And then I ran across an article where someone said that they had let two of them in, not really paying any attention, didn't really notice. The kids' eyes were downcast, and one went upstairs to use the bathroom, the other went down the hallway to use the phone, and it wasn't until she was following the kid down the hallway that she had this horrible feeling come over her, like something horrible was about to happen. And the kid looked up at her with the black eyes, and it scared her to death, and she ran in some other room and locked the door and was there for an hour, and that's all we know. Then after an hour, she ran to a friend's house, and they came back and searched the house, and there were no kids. So it was kind of anticlimactic, but I'm glad they lived.
Well, the clock has got us. When we come back, I'm going to tell you how a dead woman was withdrawing money from the bank on Speaking of Strange.
You
in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. The program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and I hope you will call Wright's Coin Shop the place that honestly turns your money into your favorite thing, more money. 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402, and you will quickly understand why that I do business with Wright's Coin Shop. That's because I like to make sure that my money becomes more money, and it has some security and stability, and I don't have to worry about whether or not the piece of paper and my wallet is going to be worth anything when I wake up tomorrow. Also, guys, coming up next hour, well, we are going to dig into the true words of the Bible, as you have never heard them before, from a man who is my friend, who devoted his life to learning Aramaic and Hebrew and all of these ancient languages that the original texts were written in, so that he could tell us what it really says there instead of what kings and various tyrants and whatnot throughout history have tried to warp it into saying so that they could abuse it and use it to manipulate people and justify their own selfish and evil deeds. His name is Dale Allen Hoffman, and you will want to hear this when we come back. Here is an interesting story. This comes to us from Minnesota. Boy, cold up there right now. Says a 91-year-old woman went to the bank and withdrew $850. Okay, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is, turns out, 7 hours before, she died. And she was with her son at the time. Authorities say her son called 911 to report his mother's death, but the investigation is saying, okay, there's something not right here. She had been dead for quite a while. There were some very bad stenches coming from the home by the time he reported that she was dead. And witnesses at the bank said the woman's feet kept dragging under her wheelchair as the son pushed her around. Isn't this horrible, guys? This is like Weekend at Bernie's. He didn't. Why would you go into the bank? Why would you not just go through the drive-through window or
Grandma's taking a nap. It seems bank, unnecessarily difficult of a plan all of a sudden.
Bank teller said he would lean into her face and ask her what she wanted.
But he would say it really said, clear, like, hey, what do you want?
Yeah. And she said she wanted to empty out her checking account. However, a captain at the police department said there was a cab driver who believed that the woman was alive when they got into a cab. Are you kidding me? He took her into – this is truly Weekend at Bernie's, okay? So the guy is saying he didn't do anything wrong. My mother and I had an agreement. I took care of her for years. I'm not the bad guy. All this is being presumed over $850. So there are people saying this guy apparently took it, put his dead mom into a cab, took her to the bank, rolled her dead body into a wheelchair, and took out $850. But you know, it is possible if he didn't know how much was in there, and maybe he thought there was a lot more than $850, right?
Well,
it's a more tell.
Still, it's unnecessarily difficult of a plan. Always look for the easiest way to make something work.
That's right. The biggest bang for the buck, so
right,
to speak. And here is one last story before we go to break. This is from Woburn, Massachusetts. A man has admitted to killing his mother, but he says if he is going to plead guilty, he has an unusual request. He's 46 years old. He's charged with beating his 70-year-old mother to death. And this guy was captured in North Carolina after a week-long manhunt. However,
he has confessed to the judge that he not only killed his mom, but he also killed their two cats. And he said that he will only plead guilty if the cats have their names added to the indictment. He says the cats were living beings. They had lives, had personalities and identities. And if I'm going to be convicted of killing my mom, then I demand to be convicted for killing them too. I would like them to be known for what they were. The judge is going to allow it, but she also has ordered him to undergo a mental health evaluation before she accepts his guilty plea.
Maybe it was part of the plea. Okay. You know, he's trying to go for that insanity.
Yep, that's a good way to start. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll be right back on Speaking of Strange.